Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 25, entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana, text number 28. The first line is too difficult for me, so we have a Sanskrit professor here and can help us.
Tvam hi bhavanyasya tavadrama palim.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Tuam means you, Re, shyness, Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, Asi, are, Atha, rather, Vak, Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, Rama, the goddess of fortune, Patim, husband, Vichimbati, searching after, thinking of, Kim, are you, Munivad, like a sage, Raha, in this lonely place, Vane, in the forest, Tuat angry, your feet, Kama, desiring, Apta, achieve, Samasta, all, Kamam, desirable things. Qua, where is, Padmakosha, the lotus flower, Patita, fallen, Kara, of the hand, Agrat, from the front portion, or palm. My dear beautiful girl, you are exactly like the goddess of fortune, or the wife of Lord Shiva, or the goddess of learning, the wife of Lord Brahma. Although you must be one of them, I see that you are loitering in this forest. Indeed, you are as silent as the great sages. Is it that you are searching after your own husband? Whoever your husband may be, simply by understanding that you are so faithful to him, he will come to possess all opulences. I think you must be the goddess of fortune, but you do not see the lotus flower in your hand. Therefore, I am asking you, where you have thrown the lotus? Purport. Everyone thinks that his intelligence is perfect. Sometimes one employs his intelligence in the worship of Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva, in order to obtain a beautiful wife. Sometimes when one wants to become as learned as Lord Brahma, he employs his intelligence in the worship of the goddess of learning, Sarasvati. Sometimes, when one wishes to become as opulent as Lord Vishnu, he worships the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. In this verse, all these inquiries are made by King Puranjana, the living entity who is bewildered and does not know how to employ his intelligence. Intelligence should be employed in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as one uses his intelligence in this way, the goddess of fortune automatically becomes favorable to him. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, never remains without her husband, Lord Vishnu. Consequently, when one worships Lord Vishnu, he automatically obtains the favor of the goddess of fortune. One should not like Ravana, worship the goddess of fortune alone, for she cannot remain long without her husband. Thus, her other name is Chanchala, or restless. In this verse, it is clear that Puranjana is representing our intelligence while he is talking with the girl. He not only appreciated the shyness of the girl, but actually became more and more attracted by that shyness. He was actually thinking of becoming her husband, and consequently was asking her whether she was thinking of her prospective husband or whether she was married. This is an example of bhoga ichcha, the desire for enjoyment. One who is attracted by such desires becomes conditioned in this material world, and one who is not so attracted attains liberation. King Puranjana was appreciating the beauty of the girl as if she were the goddess of fortune, but at the same time he was careful to understand that the goddess of fortune cannot be enjoyed by anyone except Lord Vishnu. Since he doubted whether the girl was the goddess of fortune, he inquired about the lotus flower she was not holding. The material world is also the goddess of fortune because the material energy works under the direction of Lord Vishnu, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Sujate Satcharacharam. The material world cannot be enjoyed by any living entity. If one so desires to enjoy it, he immediately becomes a demon, like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, or Kamsa. Because Ravana wanted to enjoy the goddess of fortune, Sita Devi, he was vanquished with all his family, wealth, and opulence. One can, however, enjoy that Maya bestowed upon the living entity. One can, however, enjoy that Maya bestowed upon the living entity by Lord Vishnu. The satisfaction of one's senses and desires means enjoying Maya, not the goddess of fortune. Tuamrir bhavanyasya tavakramapadim vichimbati kim munivatraho vane tvatangri kamapta samasta kamam kvapatma kosha paditak karagrat. My dear beautiful girl, you are exactly like the goddess of fortune, or the wife of Lord Shiva, or the goddess of learning, the wife of Lord Brahma. Although you must be one of them, I see that you are loitering in this forest. Indeed, you are as silent as the great sages. Is it that you are searching after your own husband? Whoever your husband may be, simply by understanding that you are so faithful to him, he will come to possess all opulences. I think you must be the goddess of fortune, but I do not see the lotus flower in your hand. Therefore, I am asking you where you have thrown the lotus. Mukam karoti vajjalam pangum langayate girim yat kripata maham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya mishvaram vanjakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vajadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a very important words, full of meaning. And because the topics are related to a Puranjana, the living entity within the material body. So Puranjana, the king, is representing ourselves as embodied conditioned souls. And it is also here discussing material nature. Srila Prabhupada in the purport discusses the spiritual energy of the Lord, Srimati Lakshmi Devi, and how it becomes transformed as Maya Devi for the conditioned soul. So I like to explore a little bit the topic of the relation between the Lord, the living entity, and material nature, looking into present-day issues, such as the not just the global warming, but the climate change and all the natural problems existing in, on the planet, and also looking into the global financial crisis. I'm speaking about that because I just come from the Parliament of World Religions, and these were very prominent topics throughout the discussions. So I'd like to reflect, share with you some reflections, and then I don't know how much time we will have for opening discussion, but okay, hopefully there will be time for one or two comments or questions. The topic of the Parliament of World Religions conference, this was the fifth conference organized since the first one was took place in 1893, when many of you should have heard that Swami Vivekananda went to Chicago representing Hinduism. You have heard that?
Yes.
And so they had this conference, it was very well received, but they didn't have another one until 1993. And then since 1993, every 5 or 6 years, they are organizing one. This was the fifth. And what they do, they discuss how religious traditions can become united, but also they relate to the topics of the world. And the topics critical issues are addressed, such as war, and the two mentioned before. Climate change, you know, there is this conference in Denmark. It is the 15th conference on climate change. And so far, didn't change for the better. So this seems to be the most important, because it seems that they are saying that there is no question that scholars, scientists can say that climate change is not taking place. It is proven. No, they say so. It is proven, and we need to do something. And they are ready to sign some documents, some agreements. But actually, the point that I wanted to focus on is that unless we rectify the consciousness that produced the problem, we will not be able to rectify the problem. Shonakarishi Prabhu wrote a very interesting paper published in dandavats.com, some of you may have read it, The Rig Veda and the Credit Crunch. You can get the link on Dandavats. It was published on Indian Times. And he quotes Einstein saying that the thinking that produces a problem will not be the thinking that will solve it. So the thinking that produces the problem is that we, human beings, we are the enjoyers of the world. Material nature, material resources are meant for our satisfaction, for our enjoyment. And we have the right to exploit material nature. And therefore we exploit the cattle, we exploit the agricultural resources, we exploit the mineral resources, we exploit the financial resources. We don't care so much about the consequences. We exploit. We want the immediate benefit. This is the thinking that produced the problem. It is we were discussing some weeks ago during the Upanishad course about the Ishavasya principle. Because of lacking the Ishavasya consciousness that everything belongs to the Lord, all the resources are His resources. And actually religion is meant for His satisfaction. One, something that we could perceive from the discussions during the conference is that even we tend to make religion human-centered. Instead of making the world God-centered and improving things from that perspective, we try to make religion human-centered. We're discussing about God, but the idea of discussing about God, it is so that our human problems will be solved and we will be able to enjoy happily in this material world. And actually, Bhagavad Gita explains that it is not possible to make this world a happy place. By nature, it is not possible to make it a place of success. Still, scriptures say that we can achieve relative success if we take shelter, if we use everything, we take shelter of the Lord, and if we use all the resources for the pleasure, for the satisfaction of the Lord. And this is a principle of the worship of Lakshmi Narayana. Narayana, the Supreme Lord, should be worshipped together with His divine energy, Lakshmi Devi. And then all the resources are seen as spiritual. All the resources are Krishna's energy. The Lord is pleased, Srimati Lakshmi Devi is pleased, and then there is opulence. We are not against opulence. We are not proposing a poverty-stricken way of life. To say, okay, we go back to work the fields and live a life of self-sufficiency. Of course, that's part of the solution. Local economy is necessary. But the point is that we do not propose that. And we live a very poor life, a low quality of life. We have examples in the scriptures, such as Dwarkapuri. It was a very opulent city. There were jewels, precious jewels, and all kinds of natural opulences manifested. Big palaces, the streets were smelling like perfume. Every day the streets were perfumed. We go to many of the big cities nowadays, and in some places we cannot smell. I mean, just all the pollution. It's the CO2, it's there all the time. Or in many places even dog stool. It's, for example, in Madrid. Madrid is the capital of Spain. And it's a very dirty city. And the government promotes clean Madrid. This is everywhere. And they have people cleaning every morning, they are cleaning. But still, it smells. It's a very dirty city. So this is due to the mentality of exploiting the resources of material nature. And then naturally people don't know how to properly behave in relation to nature, the ecosystems, in relation to managing the resources, economy, and having business ethics. Professor Hans Kuhn was conducting different workshops on business ethics. But we cannot have business ethics unless we are God conscious. How can we have business ethics? It's very difficult. We can do it for my own enjoyment. I will follow certain ethical codes for my own enjoyment. And I enjoy and do enjoy. But then when there is some tension, greed will creep in. How will I be able to control the greed? So unless we become God conscious, and God conscious, and this is applicable also to us as practitioners, we cannot just think, okay, we are transcendental, we know everything, we can give the solutions to the world. People will ask, okay, but the religion is also, they are consumers. This was one of the arguments came in one of the debates. One person said, religion is also they exploit, they are consumers. So unless we walk our talk, we will not be able to create an impression on people. And it is not just about religion, is it about pure morality, pure spirituality, properly applied. This is the gift offered by Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma prajita kaitavutra paramonir matsaranam satam. That religion should be devoid of all material motivation. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Then naturally, the pure religion will also give the results of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, will be included. If a person is a multimillionaire, the person will have also 1 million euro. So automatically the results will be given, but there is no way around. We need to go to the essential principle of pure bhakti, pure devotional service, using everything for the satisfaction of the Lord in a continuous way and in an unmotivated way. And as much as we are able to apply these principles, then we will be able to find solutions, also harmony within our communities, and we will be able to set an example that will create a positive or a convincing impression in the minds of present-day thinkers. Again, this principle of human-centered religion, human-centered approach to solve the problems need to be rectified. And we need to apply the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the cultivation of pure love of Godhead, and using everything for the pleasure of the Lord and as an offering of love to the Lord. And only then there will be real rectification. Otherwise it will happen like the Dalai Lama gave the final speech. It was a very funny, very nice. He's a very charming, has a very charming personality. He was joking. And one thing he said, you have the conference. And he said, no, you need to work, he was saying. Otherwise you just talk here in the conference and you will be sleeping. And then next 5 years you are again with the same problems or more. And I thought he was right. We need to really apply principles. Of course, I don't think the spiritual principles were properly addressed. Still, the conference was very much human-centered. So we need to contribute in making it more God-centered. It's not so easy because people have to be willing to listen, and we need to be sufficient, pure, and wise, and exemplary as to attract the people to be willing to listen to us. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you'd like to comment or ask questions, we still have 5 minutes, amazingly.
Someone might say, well, the problem is that when you make things God-centered in religion, then it causes fanaticism and people fight. So in the name of God, my God is better, they kill other human beings because they don't value humans. And the advantage of making it human-centered is then I care about the other human beings regardless of which God they worship. So can you give an example of how something practical, how things get better by shifting from human-centered to God-centered? Because the great progress of the modern world, it seems, has been to shift everything to the human realm in order to reduce the amount of conflict. This is my objection.
That's an Oxford challenge. Well, the first thing that comes to mind to answer the question is that actually, if it is really God-centered, will include the human center, will not exploit humans, when it is truly God-centered. And what I will suggest is that it is not God-centered is free from hypocrisy. The problem is not religion, the problem is hypocrisy, that human beings do not apply the teachings of the founders of the and of the scriptures, teachings of love, and we find in all the scriptures peace, love. In the scripture, it's there. Even in Islam, sometimes it is mentioned about the idea that it's some people question it as a religion where violence is very much supported. But actually, it is a religion of peace. And all the people, they promote peace, they talk about peace. Of course, also, there could be further challenges in regards to that, about how then Muhammad also fought. And we could be challenged also in terms of the Bhagavad Gita, how we also, there was a war. So anyway, but this is another topic that we can discuss later. But in general, religions promote peace. So when human beings apply the principles, the teachings of God, then they naturally care for other human beings. This is the general. Of course, now you are asking a practical example. I think we can find many examples. For example, in India. In India, the Vaishnava tradition, Vaishnavas were living with, coexisting with many different religious traditions. And their mood was very peaceful. And even when they were invaded, they were very tolerant. And this helped to develop a subcontinent, very cultured in human dealings and in dealings with nature. That would be a practical example. Living with Muslims and with Buddhists and so many different traditions without transgressing human ethical codes. That would be an example, actually, Vaishnava culture, Vaishnava tradition. Any examples of, we find, even if we find some Vaishnava kings sometimes who fought, but their way of fighting, they were looking always for the welfare of the people, and they were thinking of others. They were ruling with a big heart.
Yeah, Prabhupada was mentioning that everybody is like son of God, or like everybody is partial of God. So if we are centered, if we center God, we automatically don't kill anybody. You know, like we see that he's part of Krishna, so we don't harm. So it's automatically.
Yes. Is that okay? Is that it?
I have a question about motivation of this for holding these conferences ever since. In the light of the saying of Einstein, which you quoted, the thinking which caused the problem will not solve the problem. So my question is, what was the primary initial motivation to hold these conferences, and what is the motivation these days? Is it still the same one? Because my feeling is that people have a problem, and then they want to solve the problem, but thinking hasn't changed. My idea is this, like you're pointing, this centering to human or centering to God. Are they really going there with the idea, okay, let's drop the whole problem. Let's see how world will become God conscious, and this will solve the whole thing. But they are still seeing, okay, we have pollution problem, we have war problem, we have this problem. They're fighting the problem, but they're actually missing the point. That's my question. Is that the
well? You have all kinds of people going there, so. The idea of getting together to discuss and to talk about God, I think, is a very positive step. The theme of the conference, I'll really try to do it in a way that becomes more relevant, so that more people will come. If you make just religions talking about God and nothing else, no one wants to go. But if you call it healing the earth, healing each other, then it sounds more interesting. So, this is the situation. And there are all kinds of people going there with their own ideas and their own motivations. So, in general, there is a tendency still to make religion human-centered. And we cannot claim to be free from it, even if we have the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should also examine ourselves, where we are at in the application of these principles, and where do we think, okay, we are the panacea for curing the problems of the world, and then we don't really reach out because we don't represent properly the message in its essential way. So this is there. It's kind of a bit paradoxical, but this is the situation. And what we can do is to present the message of the Bhagavatam as purely as possible, and also to live it in the best possible way, so that we can have the purity to reach out and to touch people's hearts and brains.
Isn't it too much of a compromise like that? That mixing these motivations in order to attract the people is
to go there. Well, I mean, if we don't go there, where we will go?
Not
if
for us.
We have like leaders of the world going there. Religious leaders of the world are there, and then we want to change the world by going to the street and giving. Of course, I mean, I've 1,000% support going out to the street and doing book distribution. That's what we should do, of course. But we want to change the world by passing the books in the street. And when the leaders of the world gather and we have an opportunity to speak to them, we don't go.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant whether it is too much of a compromise from the side of those who organize the conference. To try to attract the big number of religious leaders by mixing in the human subjects, such as, you understand? Not holding it to pure aim, but let's raise the God consciousness of the people, let's see how to achieve this, and an automatic result will be, as you were saying, one who has billions has also millions, so all the other problems will be solved. So yeah, they're promoting the conference by talking about pollution and war and this and that and the other thing, instead of promoting it for God-conscious world. That's my question. Is it too much of a compromise?
Well, I mean, the majority of human beings, unless they see that religion will contribute something to their life in this world, they will not come. And therefore we find in the Vedas also, like Shonakarishi Prabhu was discussing in his article, the principle of Rita, or cosmic order, found in the Rig Veda. This is actually very much, it's Yagya, the meaning of Yagya. Even Karma Kanda may be connected to that section. It's one aspect of that principle. So, and then these arguments are given by Prabhupada, even the Vaishnava Acharyas, that we need to worship the Lord together with the goddess of fortune. Otherwise we will have problems like Ravana. So even if it sounds contradictory, but it is a fact that in order to attract people to pure spirituality, we do need to connect spirituality to the issues of the world. Otherwise in the world, no one will listen to us. So this is what we need to do it for preaching. We don't have a way out. Srila Prabhupada did it when he came to America with the counterculture generation, the hippie movement. And we need to do it if we want to be relevant. Otherwise, they don't want to listen what we have to say. They don't consider it relevant. But if we can contribute something to the credit crunch or to the or to the climate change and so on, then okay, then they want to listen. So I don't know if we have a way around. Isn't it? I think we should be there. And the more we get in, we get connected to leading people, leading personalities in the world, the more we can offer. If we get to establish relationships and they listen to what we have to say, the teachings of Bhagavatam, they may be able to implement them better than we do, because we are quite limited. Time is gone, so maybe after. Thank you very much.